Welcome to Psyched, a podcast about psychiatry that covers everything from the foundational to the cutting edge, from the popular to the weird. Thanks for tuning in.
Well, hi, everybody. This is David Carrion.
This is Jesse Gold.
And this is Psyched. We have with us today Dr. Richard Bermudez, the founder and medical director of TMS Health Solutions. He earned his medical degree from the University of California, San Diego in 1997, served as chief resident for the Family Medicine and Psychiatry Combined Program at the University of Cincinnati, then completed a fellowship at the Beck Institute for Cognitive Therapy and Research in Philadelphia. He's the founding member of a clinical TMS society, and he chaired the first annual meeting in 2013, and is now was elected president of the society in 2015. Dr. Bermudez, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
So, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about TMS. I mean, this is something that is a new and exciting technology in psychiatry, and just wanted to give you the chance to talk about what is TMS, and why should psychiatrists or maybe even the general public be aware of it?
Yeah, that's a great question, and actually, it's a question I think about a lot, probably too much. But in its simplest form, TMS is transcranial magnetic stimulation, and it's an FDA-approved treatment for adult patients who have not responded to one or more antidepressant medications. So, in its basics form, we're using a high-powered magnetic coil to generate energy across the cortex, and we're using that to modulate, populations of neurons, so to speak.
So, you're taking this device, and what does the device look like? If you're a patient, you walk into the office, what happens to you?
Well, the devices are pretty. Each device essentially has a few components, but there's generally a stimulator with a bank of capacitors, and this basically is a way for energy to store up and be discharged quite quickly in milliseconds, and this current then goes through a coil, and there are various shapes of coils, the most common being, there's kind of two shapes that are pretty common, I won't digress yet, but basically this current gets discharged into a coil, and then perpendicular to that coil, high-powered magnetic field, abruptly is on and then off. And this happens, it's a fluctuating current which produces a fluctuating field. And it's because it's not static, because it's fluctuating in milliseconds, that it actually affects, voltage-gated channels, essentially. So, it's the discovery of this in the 80s by Mark George and others that really kind of took our initial offering basically we've been waving magnets around the brain for quite a bit of time trying to change it, but it's the, sort of this notion that it's a fluctuating current with a fluctuating magnetic field that makes it pretty powerful for the brain. So patients would see, generally there's a sort of a cart or some sort of bank or stimulator, and then there's some sort of arm that holds these coils, and there's usually a user interface for the technician or physician to sort of navigate that coil around the person's head. And there's generally some sort of medical-looking chair to these systems as well.
I'd imagine patients don't get exposed to magnets in their brains very often. Probably the only thing that they know from magnets would either be the like little kid toys or maybe an MRI or something like that. Does that come up? Are people nervous about the idea of a magnet on their brain?
So we get a lot of responses when we talk to patients about this procedure. I think it really depends on the patient, how they're conceptualizing their depression or how they've been taught to think about their depression. And certainly the experience of treatments and then what treatments they're also being offered. So For example, if I'm talking to a patient who's been on, you know, 5, 6, 10 antidepressants and has suffered a lot of side effects, maybe have had an MRI in their life, the fact that it's a magnetic field, you know, they've had the MRI before, that known that's tolerable, had side effects from the antidepressants, it's generally not a big deal to think about, particularly for patients with moderate or moderately high or severe depression who've been suffering for years. So it's a not a first line treatment. It's, you know, generally third, fourth, fifth line treatment. And so for the right patient population, it's actually pretty acceptable. Sometimes we have to clarify that it's not ECT. Patients will ask, you know, are you going to shock my brain? We're not generating a seizure. This is sub-seizure threshold. So TMS actually introduced the idea that we could do neuromodulation without generating a seizure and improve mood.
Since you brought up ECT, is there a reason why TMS doesn't get the reaction that ECT has? You know, right outside there were protesters. People tend to be pretty scared of ECT. The press has kind of destroyed it at one point and it's come back into fruition, but they don't necessarily know it's better. Is there a reason TMS hasn't had that same reaction?
Yeah, and I think a few things. I mean, I'm a big believer in ECT. I used to do ECT. It's a very powerful treatment, very, very effective treatment. But yeah, we don't have to overcome the kind of stigma that I used to have with patients who were getting consultative for ECT. I think some of the reasons, you know, not having to go under general anesthesia, that it's a treatment that is accessible for patients who aren't as severely ill as those who are getting ECT. It's an outpatient setting. There's been no cognitive side effects associated with this procedure. Although modern day stimulation protocols for ECT, the cognitive side effects are pretty mild to non-existent. But, you know, you're sort of battling that legacy with ECT, and I think people have been able to differentiate the two treatments.
And now you say it's not shocking a brain, but I mean, come on, it's a pretty powerful magnet you're putting in, you know, 1.5 Teslas for a lot of these guys. That's a pretty hefty stimulation, isn't it?
Yeah, so it's kind of an interesting dynamic when we're demonstrating this with patients, because on the one hand I'm saying, yeah, it's a fairly benign procedure. You know, the seizure is rare. It's a benign procedure, and seizure is rare, and it's not what we're trying to induce. But here, I'm going to, you know, place this over your motor cortex, and I'm going to get your thumb to move. You know, that's a pretty powerful demonstration, though, of how we can, you know, do non-invasive neuromodulation at this point in time. So it is powerful, but it's, you know, it doesn't have that stigma.